78. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Welcome into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Hope everybody's doing well. I know you guys are already excited. No need to really even ask that question. Obviously, it is officially here, that third weekend of October. You guys already know what that means, right? Tennessee game is quickly approaching us tomorrow. Night game, obviously, Bryant Denny Stadium. Saban Field at Bryant Denny Stadium is going to be rocking. You got the 10-year anniversary for the 2015 National Championship team. Wait, did I say that right? Excuse me. 10-year anniversary for the 2015 National Championship team. There we go. You got a lot of stuff going on. You've got SEC Nation and everybody in town. You got the cigars getting ready. Everybody's over at R&R Cigars. Make sure you guys, if you're looking for your victory cigar, head on over there now. I would tell you to use that code Miller's Edge. Now, actually, will tell you to use that. Just know, I don't know if it's a magic way for them to get that to you overnight for tomorrow, but still, don't forget to use that code Miller's Edge to get 20% off your orders. But again, if you're in Tuscaloosa, a lot of people traveling into town for the game, make sure you guys stop by there and go get your cigars right now, right? I mean, they're going quick because everybody's rushing over there, but make sure you guys go and do that. And just tell them the Miller's Edge sent you. I don't know if there's an official deal right there, but I'm sure Reagan will look out for you knowing that you came from the Miller's Edge. Obviously, he's a close friend of the show, so make sure you guys go do that. And plus, speaking of big things going on this weekend, Good Feet Kick for Cash does take place tomorrow, so make sure you guys hurry up and get signed up. I'm not too sure if they selected the contestants yet, but might as well go ahead and do that. Plus, you can also still register for the future home games as well. We'll be doing it again. It allows you to get the opportunity to win free cash. Everybody wants free cash. All you got to do is go to goodfeetkickforcash.com, right, and just sign up using your name and email. That's it. And if you get selected, you get a chance to go out on the field, kick a 20-yard field goal. If you make that, you get an opportunity to kick a 30-yard field goal to win $1,000. If you miss that one, you still walk away with $500. And if you make no field goal at all, you at least get a Good Feet Store prize pack. So make sure you guys do that. Here's the website right here on the stream. You guys can see it, goodfeetkickforcash.com. And then don't forget about goodfeet.com for all your needs. And then if you want more information on the premium arch supports, the big product that they offer, right, that I've been wearing for years now that have changed my life, right, eliminate and alleviate all types of pain in just 4 short weeks. That's clinically proven to do so. Midtown Village is here in Tuscaloosa. You can go check them out and find the store in that shopping plaza right there. They'll take good care of you. They love walk-ins, but you can always go to the website goodfeet.com to schedule an appointment. Find the nearest location to you. It is nationwide. Again, that is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Will the lives of Bama fans be improved tomorrow evening, right? I guess cigars aren't the healthiest thing, but obviously it would make you feel pretty good if you're able to light one up this year. Obviously, last year, we weren't able to, right? Fell to Tennessee on the road. Matter of fact, they've won 2 of the last 3. A little different for me. I went undefeated. You know, it's funny. Cochran used to always ask people in the weight room, right? Especially during these weeks, like whether it was like strength coaches or other people in the building, coaches, right? Records against these people. Because again, there's 3 games that we knew would actually, you know, kind of stick with you forever, pretty much. Tennessee, right? Your record against Tennessee, LSU, and Auburn for sure, right? He always is, you know, what's your record? What's your record? And so luckily, Reed, I get to say, proudly, I never lost to Tennessee. I lost to Auburn 1 time. And then LSU, never lost to. So I feel like that's pretty damn good. So I got a lot of pride in this game. I never had to lose this game, luckily. I got to smoke a cigar every single year I was in college. But you know who did have our number when I was in school here? Believe it or not, it was Ole Miss. 2 losses, 2 regular season losses to Ole Miss. And now that I think about it, there really weren't many regular season losses at all. I mean, 2014, we lost to Ole Miss. 2015, we lost to Ole Miss. 2016, we didn't lose any regular season games. 2017, we lost to Auburn. And then 2018, we didn't lose any. So I guess I only lost three regular season games while I was in school here. That's nuts. Three regular season games, Reed, that I lost in 5 years, if I'm doing my math correctly.
I mean, that's a pretty good record. Like, when you put it that way, like, I'm like, okay, like, you were mentioning the losses, and then you said 3 in 5 years. I mean, hey, I'd rep that too.
It's insane. You know what's crazy? I have – now let's think about this real quick. We got time. 2 national championship losses, and then we lost to let me think. Oh, and then in 14, we lost to Ohio State. I want to say I only lost 6 total games. So I have the same number of regular season losses in 5 years, the same number of postseason losses, I guess, if I'm doing that right. I think that's right. Only lost 6 games in a 5-year span, if I'm doing the math right. That's nuts. I don't know if we'll ever see that again in college football, but who knows? Anyway, back to this game. Again, Tennessee, 2 out of 3 in the last ones. But here's a stat that, you know, leans a little bit more in Alabama's favor in terms of them traveling to Tuscaloosa. Reed, do you know when the last time good old Rocky Top walked away with a dub traveling to Tuscaloosa?
I'm just going to throw this out there because I think it's stuck between 2 dates, but is it 2003?
It is 2003, wow. Reed. 22 years ago.
Christian, to put that in perspective, I was born in 05. So.
Wait, so look, before you were born, man, they haven't won here in Tuscaloosa since Reed, our producer today, well, in almost every day, him and Chase, has been alive. That's crazy. That's crazy to think about. Well, can they do it? I'll be honest with you. I'm not too sure, and I'll explain why when we come back. Obviously, it is a prediction Friday, but, you know, we've been trying to space it out. I feel like I haven't gave, like, a concise, you know, breakdown of really everything. Plus, we've been battling with the stream and the whole copyright stuff. They've been trying to get us. They actually did get us. I know you guys were wondering what happened at the end of the stream yesterday. Well, they took it down, and it was so confusing. We got the all 22 that we were sharing. For whatever reason, I thought that was, you know, I guess copyright proof, right? It's not really anything from, I guess, a network. But, of course, YouTube found a way. That being said, we won't really have as much tape right now. And we're going to have to kind of go to the drawing board, figuring out. Remember the podcast of me and Slater going to start doing. That was the whole big thing about it. Now, we still obviously can do that, but I'm going to have to go back to the drawing board, figure out a solution. But me and Reed, I'm sure Chase helped out too. We're going to figure it out for you guys. But in the meantime, we're going to keep on rocking and rolling. And at the end of the day, we are a radio show first and foremost anyway. So we're talking regardless. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to break this game down. We're going to give our predictions. Make sure you guys drop your score predictions. Again, you guys get a chance to win a football signed, right? Maybe some other stuff. Maybe still got some Miller's Edge merch we'll throw in there as well. So make sure you guys drop that. I'll try to keep up with it. Make sure you guys keep proof of it. Because, again, normally I can go back on the stream and look. But last time, unfortunately, it didn't let me. And I had what I had written down. But make sure you guys either take a screenshot or something just to make sure you guys have that prediction. That being said, we're going to go ahead and hit our first time out. When we come back, we'll dive in this matchup. I'll give you some keys. We're going to do it early, and then obviously we'll circle back towards the end. But we'll go ahead and start talking about this game because I'm excited about it. And I definitely have a number of thoughts that I feel like I hadn't really put together for you guys just yet. So you'll get my complete kind of outlook on this game, some matchups, what I kind of feel could happen in this game, and definitely some keys. We'll discuss all that and more when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts.
On new floors to go. Flooring so durable, even your in-laws won't ruin it. Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today, because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, So we got the score predictions rolling in again. If you guys want to get in on that, obviously, if you're watching via YouTube on our live stream, drop it in the comments. I'm trying to keep up with them. I might have to go back. I see where I stopped at. I'll scroll back up and get the ones I missed. If you guys obviously listen via radio, call in. I can get them that way. Or via the Tide 100.9 app, drop us an app message. We can get it that way. And, yeah, make sure you guys drop those to get a chance to win a signed ball and some other cool stuff, man, we'll hook you guys up with. Still haven't had anybody really hit. I think one person said they had hit in the chat, but I couldn't go back and look because the stream, unfortunately, it didn't let me. Normally, it lets you go back and look at the live comments. But for whatever reason, it didn't that week. And I hated that because I couldn't verify it. So just, guys, make sure you take a screenshot just in case, right? Because I try to get them the best that I can. But sometimes, man, trying to do it during the break and come back and talk and doing a million things, I might miss it. So make sure you guys have proof of that too as well, man. All right, that being said, obviously we've talked a little bit about this game, good bit about this game, but let's circle back to it, Reed. Let's go ahead and jump right into it because everybody's looking forward to this matchup again. 6:30 kickoff, it's going to be a night game. Everybody, I imagine, is going to be, that can be, in that stadium, loud. It's going to be one of those atmospheres. It's going to be the game, one of these games, right, that hopefully is one of them that, you know, it's a good memorable game. You know, the atmosphere is there. We're bringing back the cigars, big time win. And look, it gives Alabama the chance to get four straight ranked wins in a row. I mean, you gotta think about that. I mean, from where we've come week one, guys, to where we're at now, I mean, I would argue that we're probably the most improved team. And at a quick rate, by the way. I mean, because we're still at the halfway. We just hit the half point on the regular season, right? I mean, this will be the first game past that. And normally you talk about teams kind of just now hitting their stride around, you know, this range in the season maybe. But I feel like each week since that week one loss to Florida State, man, we've just gotten better and better. And it's been really impressive. But again, I mean, it's going to be our fourth straight ranked game in a row. A chance to win four straight, which would be huge. I believe there's a stat last game about, first time like going 3-0 or ranked games or something like that in a long time. I don't know. Again, I'm not ESPN. We don't have the whole quick little analytics that just fly up. But you guys get the point, man. Really impressive that you can do that. And you got to tip your hat to Kalen DeBoer and his staff and the guys on the team as well for really turning things around. I'll say this, though, man. One interesting thing, though, even though there's a lot of talk, and I mean, if you guys remember, I know some people might have forgot, but I mean, after week one, I mean, there's people talking about buying a lot of lottery tickets for buyouts, people wanting people gone, this and that, and the third. Not looking back too far, but I will just say this. If you think about it, it kind of makes sense, though. Kalen DeBoer, there's never been a problem of his ability to win ranked games. Matter of fact, I think he's literally like the best coach in the country when it comes to like the last several years in these big matchups. I mean, so he's always had a track record of showing up in the big moments. The biggest issue, which leads me to a quote that I saw, and at first I wasn't too sure if it was legit, but I think it was from Greg Byrne. The issue really has been the games where you're just expected to win, right? The games that you're supposed to win. That being said, this is another ranked matchup, so hopefully that trend continues. It will be a tough matchup, right? You're talking about a Tennessee team that does lead the conference offensively, right? They've got an explosive offense, and I'll talk a little bit more about their offense throughout the show because, in my opinion, Reed, I feel like this is going to be probably the toughest challenge outside of week one for our defense, right, in terms of what we've seen so far this year. And I'll tell you why, right? I mean, going into week one, I knew that was going to be a challenge. Why? Well, you've got Gus Malzahn. You've got a dual threat quarterback, right? They go to the portal. They've got, you know, a number of guys and weapons on the outside. The way they play, just the scheme itself, the tempo they play with. It's like being a defender myself, you know the challenges that come with that. And then you look at this game, and although it's a different type of challenge that they pose, it's very similar to me as where there's going to be so many things that you're up against defensively that I'm going to be completely honest with you. I would not be shocked if this kind of feels like it might feel like a step back for our defense in terms of how they perform. But I urge you guys to remember, I mean, when you play against teams like this, they're averaging damn near 50 points a game, like 48 points per game right now offensively. That's number one in the conference. And I'm pretty sure it's really high nationally too. I'll pull those numbers up here in a minute. But not just the numbers. You guys know we don't just rely on numbers. Even just looking at the way they get it done. This team is one of the most explosive teams in terms of throwing the football, right? Passing wise, they're also number one in the conference with 317, almost 18 yards per game, right? Their quarterback's thrown for 16 touchdowns. We know they'll take shots. But why does this offense pose such a challenge for defenses? Well, they actually run the football too, and they do it effectively. They average over 200 yards on the ground. Why do I feel like this could definitely be an issue? Well, we've talked about the issue stopping the run for this defense. We've looked a lot better over the last couple of weeks, specifically going back to Vanderbilt. Three quarters, only allowing 22 yards on the ground. Last week, probably the most impressive performance in terms of the challenge, right? Holding a team that was rushing for almost 300 yards on the ground and the leading rusher in the nation, holding him to 52 yards and really outside of two explosive runs in total 160 yards, but take those away, really about 101 yards, give or take. That's a solid job. But then even when you just turn on the tape, I thought we looked physical at the line of scrimmage. I thought our linebackers have been playing better in recent weeks. And even, you know, the third level, the run support, the secondary guys, I highlighted it when we were able to watch some tape before it got taken down. Just seeing the reaction from guys like Bray Hubbard, those safeties coming down and run support a lot quicker. They're triggering faster, right? They're taking better angles. That's all been better. But the reason I have some concerns about this game is, again, the way Tennessee does it. And we've talked about the wide splits that they like to do offensively. They widen you out. They get you light in the box, but they're looking to run the ball, right? It's a numbers game. But then it's even more interesting. They've gone away. I wouldn't say gone away from it. They do a little bit less of that, and they've done more condensed stuff, which opens some more stuff up in the passing game. I'll talk about that in a little bit, really just kind of with some of the routes that they're running out of these bunch looks, right? Obviously, it's, you know, as a defense, you got to have bunch rules, stuff like that. Well, they've been getting into that and also running the football effectively like that as well. But it's really the biggest challenge really for me is just the combination of things that they throw at you and at the pace that they do it with, right? Just like Florida State, they'll use tempo. And if I'm being completely honest with you, I don't think we've really seen a team really implement a lot of tempo in their offense really since Florida State. I mean, thinking ULM, Georgia doesn't really. I mean, maybe Vanderbilt doing some. I didn't think Missouri really did. So I think Tennessee is one of those challenges where I want to see how we respond, because I just know as a defender myself, when it's already one thing when you've got a lot of things to defend, which Tennessee throws a lot at you, right? Whether it's the wide splits, they'll test you. They do a lot of screens, right? They'll hit they'll look for explosive plays. They'll work play action, but then they're going to really try to establish their running game. So you're literally, you know, whether you're a backer or a DB, right? They'll test you. They'll run the ball. They'll throw it out on the screen. Next thing you know, they're trying to hit you over the head. And then imagine doing this at a fast pace, right? They're the type of team, like, they hit a run, they'll get right back on the ball, they'll run it again, right? Then they'll hit play action off of that. And when things are sped up, sometimes it kind of feels like you're in a little bit of a frenzy, a lot going on. To me, that was a clear issue with Florida State. Florida State was going quick. They were having success. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was part of the reason we saw some of the guys playing a little slower, timid, right? Sometimes that speed, when you're not confident, when things are going fast, it slows you down as a football player. I wouldn't be shocked if we see some of that from our defense creep back in a little bit. I say that to say, I'm not saying like, oh, they're just going to, you know, run through our defense. No, but I could see, again, I wouldn't necessarily call it a step back, but just I'm just telling you guys from my perspective, just after watching this team and knowing how Tennessee gets down, I would not be shocked if it does feel at times, right? Kind of like similar to Vanderbilt, right? You know, they had, you know, some plays and you're kind of like, oh man, that could be a similar deal. Because I hadn't even got to the part where you're talking about the skill guys that they have. Personally, I think their receiver room is probably the best room that we've seen all year. Florida State had good players, but they didn't really throw as much. I think Tommy threw maybe 17 times. These guys will throw the football more than that. And you're talking about a group led by Brazel, but even the other two guys, their names are slipping my mind off top of my head. I pulled up real quick, but I'm pretty sure all those guys have got over like 400 yards apiece. Yeah, I mean, you got, let me see. Wait, I just had this pulled up. I'm sorry. No, that's rushing. Receiving leaders. Here we go. Chris Brazel. He's got 32 receptions for 536 yards. You've got Staley. That's who it was. He's got 31 receptions for 431 yards. And then you've also got Mike Matthews. He's got 25 receptions for 416 yards. So, I mean, these guys, you know, obviously we tout ourselves on our wide receiver room. But these guys, I mean, obviously I think we've got them beat, right, because of our depth too. But they're up there. They're up there, and it's going to be a challenge. And personally, I don't think our secondary has been challenged a whole bunch thus far this season. And I'll be honest with you, I mean, even like last week, I mean, I thought we played pretty solid defensively for sure, right? But if we're being completely honest with you, if Missouri had any type of vertical passing threat, that game probably would have looked a lot different, because I feel like they got out of their element. Not even feel like they did. I mean, their backs only had a combined 17 carries together, right? And if they were having success, if their quarterback wasn't so frantic and those bad passes, I mean, again, we narrowly escaped that game. And I get it. It was on the road, different situation. But just understand the way I think, right? I see the good that we do, obviously, but you guys know me, right? We don't pump sunshine on here just because I know everybody wants to hear what they want to hear. No. We're going to break it down from a football perspective. I'm just telling you these things that could pop up that you got to pay attention to. I still feel confident we win this game. I just feel like it could end up being one of those games where, you know, you got two offenses really going back and forth. And to be honest with you, speaking of offense, I think that might be one of the keys in this game. And luckily, we've been doing a good job of this time of possession, right? Our offense could actually be one of our better weapons on defense, meaning keeping their offense off the field. I think that would help out tremendously. Again, talking about a team that will go tempo, a team that can throw a lot at you, right? You don't want to put too much on your defense. Those long, sustainable drives that we've been having, dominating time of possession, those things, in my opinion, could be key in this game. And they're probably thinking the same thing. Look, these guys aren't dumb. They know that we have an explosive offense. They know that their secondary has really struggled. What do you think they're going to do? Which leads me to believe, to put a bow on this whole more defensive focus deal right now, I'm not going to be shocked if they really try to establish that running game. Why? Because I think they also want to try to win that time of possession battle. They don't want Ty Simpson, who's been threading the needle, right? And they don't want him and those receivers. And look, I would throw in our running game, because as the recent weeks, it's been pretty solid. But with Jam being, you know, probable, which we'll get to that in a second, I don't think he needs to play, just from, you know, a former player perspective. But I'll say this. I think Tennessee's going to have that mentality, and I think they're really going to try to establish that running game. We've shown some vulnerabilities there, and then they're going to sneak those explosives in there. That being said, I think we need to try to beat them to the punch, and we need to control the time of possession. The good news is we've been doing a good job of that. All right, let's hit a timeout and stay on schedule. When we come back, we'll keep breaking this game down. We'll turn our focus a little bit more on Alabama's offense, take a look at what they need to do, some challenges that they might see in this game. And we'll discuss that on the other side of this break right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. We'll be right back.
Wide variety of holiday lights starting at $5 in store only. Find everything you need to get your holidays started with the Home Depot.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Offer valid October 16th through November 2nd, 2025. Base price for standard installations only. Excludes Traffic Master and stock carpet. For licenses, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation.
EJR.com, where you pick it out and we'll work it out. On select models with approved credit plus tax, registration, and dealer fees. See dealer for details. Expires month end.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And Welcome back into this free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store. America's arch support experts. All right, we're giving like a real full breakdown prediction right now of this Alabama-Tennessee matchup. So we took paid a lot of attention to Tennessee's offense and our defense in that last segment. Now let's turn it to the other side of things. Let's take a look at our offense and Tennessee's defense, right? Obviously, you guys have already heard all the numbers and the talk about Tennessee's secondary, right? We already know. I mean, it's true. Their secondary struggled. They've been a little thin there. You know, their best players at the cornerback spot have been hurt. One of them hadn't even played this season, I'm pretty sure. So, look, obviously, they're struggling there, right? But I'll say this. I mean, it's interesting because as bad as they are there, they've got a great pass rush. One of the best in the country in terms of sacks per game at 4.3, right? They're averaging over 4 sacks a game. That's damn good. That's really good. You got to respect that, right? To me, it's just interesting because it's like, even though you struggled in the secondary, I'm like, man, we always talk about how they complement each other, pass rush, pass defense. I'm like, damn, you would think them getting to the quarterback so much, they would at least have some help, but really it comes from a lot of explosive plays they give up. I know earlier they played a lot more man coverage. The games that I've watched, I'm seeing them play definitely a lot more zone, right? They're mixing it up a lot more. But they tend to just give up some explosive plays. I mean, I wouldn't say they're just like, I know the numbers are really bad, but when you watch them, I mean, it's not like they just got like terrible players. They're just giving up big plays. And it's almost like, you know, when we did watch the tape the other day, I mean, there's some things that, to me, it explains itself, right? Like, we watched the Mississippi State tape, right? I don't remember I think Mississippi State ended up rushing for over 200 yards. One of those runs was like 60 yards. Why? You got a defensive end taking the inside and nobody replacing. You know what I mean? So I will say this. Their coordinator is a great coach, right? He does a really nice job. They'll be aggressive. They get after the quarterback, obviously. But they, at least to this point, haven't really found an answer in the passing game. Running game, they've been all right, maybe. I mean, they've definitely given up some things. And I do think that will be a key for us in this game, running the football. Why? Talked about needing this, you know, or at least wanting to dominate that time of possession, right? Keeping the football away from that explosive offense that they have. How do you do that? Well, running the ball is a major key in doing that. The good news is we've seen, even with us struggling to, I guess, run the football as effectively as we would like, we're able to still have long, sustainable drives, which is actually really impressive. And it's really because it's a result of, you know, us, you know, using the extension of the running game, screens, a lot of different things, mixing stuff up. And I don't know if you guys have really, like, peeped some of this stuff. Sometimes it's hard to really tell, but we throw a lot of defenses, man. Like, there's, like, a lot of things that kind of go over a lot of people's heads. Like, last game, I mean, I saw, and we saw this from Bernard and some other games, but they're lining receivers up in the running back spot. Brooks lined up in the running back spot last game, and they're sending him out on, like, wheel routes. Why is that nasty work? Well, if he's in that running back spot, guess who's matched up on him 90% of the time? It's going to be a linebacker. And you're talking about sending him on wheel routes and things like that? A guy like Brooks, I mean, that's just a straight mismatch. So what I'm getting at is we've been doing a lot of a number of things, right? Or even going back like the Georgia game, I think Jeremy Bernard had maybe like, what, 5 carries where there was like jet sweeps, like end around thing. I mean, like just little things to get our playmakers the ball, right? Extensions of the running game. That's big. But in terms of our running game in general, we've talked about it. We've seen with Jam being back, it clearly had really improved a lot. If you turn on the tape, in my opinion, I don't think it was all Jam just being back. I do think he obviously influenced, and I've talked about that. His vision, obviously, he's got a lot of experience. The dude is very talented. He knows, you know, he has a good sense of where those holes are going to open up, and he does a good job hitting them, right, getting downhill. However, the tape also does show that the offensive line and their execution and physicality has been much better. That being said, that still is a question mark in this game because I do think we need to run the football effectively in this football game. I just told you why. But are we going to be able to still have that success that we've had last couple of weeks if Jam doesn't go? Personally, I don't think he should go. I mean, I think when you suffer a concussion less than, six days ago, I guess it'll be 7 days tomorrow. But still, in my opinion, man, it's just too soon for me, man. And I just think long term, and I hate it for a guy, you know, it's a senior year. I mean, last time playing against Tennessee, we know how special this game is. And I will say this, I trust Jeff Allen and that training staff. I mean, at the end of the day, it's their call. They're doing all the tests, whatever. But sometimes you got to protect guys from themselves. And I just personally feel like that just feels way too soon, especially when it's a concussion, when a dude, like, goes down. I mean, that was a hard hit to the side of the head. And he was down for a minute. I know he got up, they walked him off, but I don't know, man. I'm a proponent of, obviously, we love this game, but I'm also a big advocate for life after football, because, I mean, once you get done playing, I don't care if you played 10 years in the NFL, you still got 50, 60 more years to live, you know, obviously, you know, God willing. But I don't know. Just my thoughts on that. That being said, if he doesn't go, Kevin Riley, drawing a blank, man. Oh, my God. Daniel Hill, thank you. Why did I just say thank you? I thought it myself. Anyway, Daniel Hill, Kevin Riley, those guys are going to be getting the bulk of the carries if there is no jam, which, again, we've seen, at least Kevin Riley, he's really been great. And then I think Daniel Hill stepped up the last couple of weeks. And he's one of those guys you talk about being a little hobbled up. He was one of them. I feel like he's gotten a lot more healthy over the last few weeks, right? So I feel like he'll be able to make a little bit more of an impact when he does get these opportunities. But can they continue that running game if Jam can't go? Personally, I think they should be, for the most part, able to do that. But that'll be a question mark in this game. Next test for offensive line. Obviously, we talked about the pass rush. Can they hold up? They've improved. They've done a lot better, I feel like. But there still are some weaknesses on the group. I don't care what numbers you look at. I don't care where it ranks at. If you turn on the tape, you'll see, obviously, the right side being the most vulnerable spot. But even then, even with as good as Caden Proctor has been over the last few weeks, it's going to be honest with you. I mean, this Tennessee front, they've got some dudes at the edge spot. And Caden Proctor, even though he's improved, he still is vulnerable to some speed rushes. The good news is Ryan Grubb is, I don't know why it took us like three coordinators over the last 4 years for somebody to finally have the light bulb moment of saying, hey, man, our tackles struggle in pass pro. Let's actually get some chips in here. Let's actually help these guys out. Well, they do that frequently, and I know that's one of the main reasons we've seen a lot better results in our protection. The pocket has been pretty damn solid for Ty. Can they continue that? That's going to be mandatory in this game, especially if you're talking about it gets to a point where it's a little bit of a shootout. Offenses are trading blows, trading points, right? We got to be able to, number one, run the football so we're not one-dimensional. That way those guys can't just tee off. But two, when we are in those positions, give Ty some time to work, right? Because I'll be honest with you, looking at Tennessee's defense, I think the only thing that really would give them hope, really, is if they can find a way to, number one, get pressure on Ty and be disruptive, not necessarily just sacks, but also just disrupting timing and just really just, again, affecting him. But two, if they're able to force some turnovers, which we haven't seen out of this offense. Ty's only got one interception, and that literally was like an arm punt. Outside of that, I mean, he's been so clean with the football. We did see, you know, a strip fumble against Missouri. There's one in another game or so, but backs have been, again, knock on wood, really, really, really clean, right? Keeping the ball off the ground. So I think if you protect the football and you protect Ty, you definitely feel good about this matchup. Then obviously I mentioned the running game. That still will be important as well. So there's a lot of factors in this game. I feel like I listed off a whole bunch of them. That's kind of like my overall view on this matchup right now. Personally, I kind of feel it being one of those games where first half, right, definitely could feel a little close, but then I feel like second half, things kind of start pulling away. And really, I'll be honest with you, I'm loving the fact that this game is at home, because that's only going to cause even more issues for their offense, right? It's so much harder for an offense to operate on the road, especially in a big game like this. So I definitely feel good about that. But I also respect the fact that this team is averaging damn near 50 points a game, right? And even in SEC play, they put up over like 30-something points each game. But on the flip side, they've also allowed almost 30 points a game. So it's going to be an interesting one. Definitely looking forward to it. All right, let's hit a timeout. So we've talked at great length about the offense, defense, pretty much the whole thing. We'll kind of, throughout the second hour, keep putting little, you know, I guess little pieces in there that we might have missed. And we'll go to you guys. We got a lot of comments. We're going to start reading them. Plus, I'm assuming we definitely got to hear from Reagan coming up. It's only right. It's Tennessee week. So we'll definitely do that as well. All that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Hey, real quick, shout out to Chief. My guy Chief, 18 on wheels with the super chat, supporting the channel. Much love to my guy Chief, man. He's been supporting her. Wow, I mean, going back years, man, he's been listening to the show. So big thanks to him for that. Want to give him some love while we still were live via radio before we hit this timeout. So big thanks to Chief with that super chat, man. We always appreciate the love and support here on the Miller's Edge. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
And coming up on the Friday edition of The Game, hours away from Alabama and Tennessee, we're going to do it with SEC Parlay Pick Contest presented by Brian Hart Construction. We're going to give away a gigantic tailgating package courtesy of our great sponsors, Piggly Wiggly. We'll talk with Brent Beard. We'll also talk with Lee Sterling. And we'll take your phone call starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Get ready for the NASCAR Cup Series as it returns to Talladega. It's the Yellowwood 500 NASCAR Cup Series. The playoffs are here. Drivers battling it out at nearly 200 miles per hour. It's the most thrilling race of the season, the NASCAR Cup Series Yellowwood 500. Experience the adrenaline.
Specials, making it a great spot to catch the game or enjoy a night out with friends. Grandstand, located on 4th Street and Temerson Square, downtown.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are language. Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and warm this afternoon. The high today, 85. Fair tonight, the low, 65. Tomorrow, partially sunny with a high at 86. Sunday, cooler, a good chance of showers and a few thunderstorms during the morning hours. The high, 78. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 80 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We're talking Alabama, Tennessee. Good old third Saturday in October game again. Alabama looking for four straight ranked wins in a row, right? That would be huge. Tennessee looking to get their first dub in Tuscaloosa since 2003, before our producer today, Reed, was even born, which is crazy. But they have won two of the last three. So they obviously, you know, they're going to be confident, right? Both teams 5-1, which we'll talk about a little bit of this too, since we've, you know, broke down a lot of the game. We'll, again, if you just are tuning in, don't worry. We'll circle back and definitely still drop the keys and all that again in the second hour. But 5-1 for both these teams. I mean, this is going to be a really important game for both of these football teams. You got to think about it, right? It's kind of, we're both in that area where the room for error gets a whole hell of a lot slimmer if you lose this football game. Why? Because that means you're at two losses, and then you still have five games to go. If you're Alabama, you're looking ahead and you're saying, all right, we now have to face South Carolina on the road. We've got Oklahoma coming here. We got to go, we got LSU coming here, but then we also got to go play Auburn, right? And I'm just going to be honest with you. When you have that pressure on your back, it's tough, right? It's a lot more tough going into those big games than it would be if you didn't have it, right? I think that's pretty obvious. So this is an important game. Does it mean, you know, whoever loses this game is like out of the picture? No, no. It just means you pretty much got to be perfect for the rest. But I guess it depends on how everything else plays out too. I mean, we could see a 9-3 team still sneak in the playoffs. Again, not trying to go down the whole thing. I'm just really just talking about the matchup for both teams and why, obviously, this is a really, really important game. And me personally, I think between this game, LSU has been very interesting this year. They've definitely, I don't know. I feel like this game is arguably one of the toughest games that we ever made, if not the toughest game. That's my opinion. Oklahoma, I definitely, you know, felt was going to, it still is. John Mateer having that surgery, seen him last week against Texas. Obviously, I think he'll be a lot healthier when he plays us. But, I mean, he threw like three picks in that game. They didn't look as good as they had looked before everything kind of, you know, transpired with them. When I want to say transpire, the quarterback being hurt and all that good stuff, you know. But I don't know. I feel like if we can get through this game, man, things are looking really good for Alabama, man. And talk about confidence. I mean, that's four straight ranked games in a row. You travel to South Carolina, and that's definitely one you don't want to overlook. We talked about it, right? We played our Kalen DeBoer reputation great in ranked games and the big ones, but the games where you're favored by a good bit, sometimes those are a little, little scary. Even according to Greg Byrne, he said you kind of just expect that. That being said, man, going to my hometown, Columbia, South Carolina, it's not going to be necessarily an easy game, even though they haven't looked great this season. All right, we got to hit this top hour break. When we come back, we keep on rolling in hour number two, breaking down this Alabama-Tennessee game. We'll give our predictions here in hour number two. We'll hear from Reagan Starn of R&R Cigars again, the mansion where you need to get all your cigars for this matchup at 12:30 right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 12:30 WTVC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
Thursday night football between the Bengals and the Steelers went down to the wire, but Cincinnati won it on a 36-yard field goal to come out on top 33-31, and the Unks delivered as Joe Flacco threw for 342 yards and three touchdowns. One of them went to Ja'Marr Chase, who also had 16 catches for 161 yards, and Aaron Rodgers threw for 249 yards, four touchdowns. He also had two interceptions. Pittsburgh falls to 4-2, and Cincinnati improves to 3-4. In baseball, the Dodgers are one win away from advancing to the World Series after topping the Brewers 3-1. Game 4 is on Friday at 8:30 Eastern time. While the Blue Jays have evened the series in the ALCS after beating the Mariners 8-2, Game 5 is also on Friday at 7 Eastern time. And on the ice, the Golden Knights edge the Bruins 6-5. Canucks beat the Stars 5-3.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Get ready for the NASCAR Cup Series as it returns to Talladega. It's the Yellowwood 500 NASCAR Cup Series. The playoffs are here. Drivers battling it out at nearly 200 miles per hour. It's the most thrilling race of the season, the NASCAR Cup Series Yellowwood 500. Experience the adrenaline, the energy, and the unforgettable moments that make this playoff race. It's more than a race. This is Talladega. Get your tickets now at TalladegaSuperspeedway.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction.
Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at tuscaloosacdjr.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHsystem.com.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
On the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Don't forget, Prediction Friday, drop those predictions. I'm trying to keep up with everything. I got to go back and backtrack, but I'll definitely make sure I do it before I get out of here. Even if the show is over, I'll sit in the stream behind the scenes if I have to, and we'll get all those written down. But make sure, for security, you guys take screenshots or do whatever you guys need to do as well. We're about to go to the phone lines here and get y'all's opinion, get y'all's predictions. But first, I want to just see if there's a couple more comments or questions that we might have before we do that. Joey says, Damani needs to step it up. He looks disconnected or checked out. Yeah, and look, I'll say this. I was thinking maybe he's banged up. Maybe he's, you know, a little hobbled, right? But to my knowledge, I don't think he's really that banged up. Maybe a little bit. But sometimes at that position, man, you know, you take a hit of confidence and it's almost like somebody having the yips, you know what I mean? Like, and that position specifically, you have to be able to play the next play and really move on from things. If not, sometimes, man, you're just kind of digging a hole. And so I hope he can kind of get his groove back. Cause again, he's a really good football player. Like, there's no denying that. Everybody knows that. It's just in recent weeks, it just doesn't seem like he's really confident, or he's clicking, or he's a little bit banged up. But the good news is we do have a lot of depth right there while he's kind of, you know, sorting all that out. I still think, obviously, like, even with DJ playing more, you still got to have him in there. And I think it might work out both. And I said this other day, like, sometimes giving him a step back might kind of help him get right. But in the meantime, he's still playing some snaps, right? You'll see him, you know, dime third down packages and stuff like that. Maybe to see DJ a little bit more on first and second down, which I'm not opposed to anyway, because, again, you're talking about a team that will implement screen game. Having a bigger physical corner out there is definitely a benefit in that situation. So wouldn't shock me there. Let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We've got Smitty up first. Smitty, welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, good brother?
What's up, Smitty?
Man, well, good, good, good. Now, the team I hate the most is playing Tennessee tomorrow. My L.A. Dodgers up 3-0. They'll blow it. Yes, nothing like being a Dodger fan from Braves country. Yes, I took a lot of heat over the years when I was a kid. So here's the thing. I think Alabama went 38-30. And the thing I like about this team, I don't know if a lot of hand-wringing going on, because I've always thought 2027 may be the team that may contend for the Natty. I think this team is just about making a playoff, this thing will happen. Especially see so many young guys getting significant snaps, and those guys getting a year older, experienced, and even in their bodies in order as they grow and mature, you know. But I think what happens is, the thing I do like about this team is that they don't have to win in a shootout. They could win close games. They could win games when stuff doesn't go right. Because, hey, let's be real here. Jeremy Bernard nor Ryan Williams had a good game against Missouri, and they still found a way to win the game. There are a lot of teams out there that wouldn't have been able to win that game. And as it shows, they've done a good job at evaluating talent. But with Tennessee, the key is, in my opinion, yes, they go hurry up. But the key is those hurry-up teams, they can be off the field quickly by getting your stops, doing what you're supposed to do, and not having defensive penalties that keep drives going. And because you want them to go hurry up, and you want them to get off that field quick to put your team, your offense back on that field. And I think this team, especially like with the cornerback and the DB position being better than it was last year, because Nico had a lot of wide open deep shots, he just missed them.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I think that's it. Like, in my opinion, Christian, also, I know that we hate the defense ain't, you know, numbers wise, because they give up big runs, and when it's bad. But I think some of these young guys are actually stepping up in the physicality department. Even Keon Keeley looks like he looked pretty physical last week out there. I think the physicality from this defense, along with some of these young guys, is possibly helping in DJ Lee being back there as a corner, being physical as well, because Georgia was targeting Domani Jackson on those runs because they knew he wasn't physical enough. And what's your thoughts on those?
Yeah, no, I definitely think DJ Lee in there helps you out tremendously from that physical aspect, right? I mean, whether it's coming down, like, again, when you're playing those screens, man, typically, you know, the number two receiver is normally the one getting the ball, right? Number one's typically, you know, blocking, at least when you're talking about, like, bubbles and things like that. But that'll be big there, in my opinion. Like, he's a much better option there. So I agree with you there. Plus, he's a long corner. It's hard to throw over a guy like that. And Tennessee's got a guy that's 6'5", so it'll be an interesting matchup for sure. But like I said, I mean, Damani, I think he's going to be all right, man. I think he just got to get his gears back underneath him. And playing cornerback, man, you got to have confidence. And I feel like it just seems like he just has a lot going on, maybe, or just trying to, you know, rebuild that confidence. But I think it'll come. And maybe just right now, just DJ Lee's a little more fit there, and just let him kind of, you know, take some more reps while you're getting Damani back. And regardless, you're going to need all these guys. I mean, shoot, you're going against a receiving group that's they've got dudes, man. Like, again, three guys over 400 yards apiece. Matter of fact, I'm watching on my monitor on the other side right now. I just saw Brazel make another catch of over like 60 some yards. I mean, like these guys, like, again, the whole premise of their offense: run the ball, set up these explosives downfield, right? And that's what we're going to see. So secondary will be tested. I think it will be their biggest challenge that they've seen this season. So I'm excited to see how it matches up. I mean, really, all eyes are going to be on the skill guys. Think about it: our receivers versus their DBs who have a bad rep right now, and then vice versa, their receivers versus our DBs who have a good rep but just hadn't necessarily been tested a whole bunch. People hadn't really thrown a whole bunch on us. And then to your other points, remind me what your first point was, Smitty. I'm sorry, I got so focused on that one.
Oh,
young guys,
like on the defensive line, even Keeley, I say he's young experience-wise, but those young guys like London Simmons, Keon, Yonze Pierre is better every game. It's like those guys are physical and going at it, and I think that may have been a nice boost to the defense.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. I mean, London Simmons, I want to give him credit. I mean, just turning on the tape, man, he has been playing some really good football, especially given he's so young. Expectations probably weren't for him to really be stepping up at this point in his career. I mean, I've been really impressed with him. You know, he fires up the football well, and he really does a good job playing on the other side. I'm trying to think of who else. Even last week, man, just seeing the edges that we were setting, Yonze Pierre has stepped up. You know, I know initially you looked at him more as like a pass rush type guy, but really seeing the edges that he was setting, he's playing more physical. I think like across the board, like you said, we're playing more physical up front, and I think that really shows not only with just the success that we're having, but just if we just watch the tape, man, like these guys are playing with more of an edge than they were initially to start the season, which is really big, right? Again, we might not have the same, just like Rashawn was talking about yesterday, we might not have those same elite guys, but we got some good players, and we got some willing guys, and they're playing tough. They're trying to play physical, and that's about all you can ask for. Because typically, when you at least do those things, a lot of good will happen, and that's going to be big in this game. I don't know if people really talked about this, but I think Tennessee's offense is only allowed like 4 sacks, so getting after the quarterback would be big. we'll see if we can get that done. And then also with them wanting to run the football, man, I mean, they do a good job of doing that, whether it's, you know, zone. I've seen a lot of counter, right? Some pin and pull stuff. I mean, they'll run the football at you. So it starts up front, and we're going to need those guys, especially big in this game, both getting after the quarterback and setting the tone when they try to run the football at us.
Hey, that's all I have. Thanks for taking my call, Christian. I hope you have a good one this weekend. And all the motivation this team needs is don't smoke on their field. That's all the motivation you need. But hey, you have a good one, Christian.
Yes, sir. You too, Smitty. Yeah, that ain't it, man. Seeing another team pull out cigars. Wait, now I think about it. Hold on. So obviously they've won two of the last three. But those two were both away, right? I'm getting that right? Because they won last year. Reed, you might have double checked me on this. I'm gonna try to do it in my head real quick. But they won last year away. The year before we played them at home, that was Coach Saban's last year. We obviously beat them because we only lost to what? Texas and yeah, both are away. Thank you, Price. Yeah, so it was the year before. Dang, man. Oh, well, duh. What am I talking about? We haven't won at home since 2003.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry. There you go. Process of elimination right there. Nice. Speaking of that, I took an IQ test yesterday for fun. Anyway, we're not even going to get into that. I was pleased with my score, though. Anyway, what was I going to say? Yeah, smoking at Tuscaloosa would be kind of crazy, though. But you know what? I guess, to be fair, I have seen a cigar lit here. It wasn't when I was playing, and it was after we lost. But remember, I think it was Joe Burrow. Didn't he light a cigar in the locker room or something here after beating us back in like 2019?
I think, yeah, the 2019 season, the whole picture went viral. It was, and it's still used to this day, I believe. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, talk about bragging rights. When I played him my senior year, he wasn't smoking no damn cigar. If anything, we rolled him up in a pack and we smoked him. Pause. I know I had a sack and a half. Quinnen had at least two sacks. Bugs, Anthony, I mean, we were feasting back there. So I wish I would have had, I guess some power to see in the future that he was going to be trying to light up a cigar here. Because I would have lit one up in Baton Rouge my senior year before he even had a chance. Anyway, all right, let's hit a timeout. We come back. We got Tommy up next on the phone lines. Plus, we'll continue to keep talking about this matchup, dropping keys. Again, I got the tape pulled up on the other side of my screen here. I'm just watching it. I can't put it over here so the stream doesn't get shut down. But don't worry. Maybe we'll be able to, like, put in, like, a freeze frame here or there. Well, maybe we'll, I don't know. We'll test it a little bit. But we'll do that when we come back right on the Miller's Edge. Tide on 0.9, 1230, WTBC.
Laws won't ruin it. Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today, because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We were reading a comment. It's just some Price on our YouTube channel. He just was asking about just thoughts on Ty holding the ball a little too long sometimes, but then followed it up saying, I don't want to seem like I'm come knocking. Just a reminder, guys, I promise, this is a safe space where we just were honest and we're given a true, honest analysis and a breakdown, right? If you guys have questions like that, that's not knocking or anything. Don't ever worry about that here on this show, man. Like, if that's happening, that's happening. I always tell people, there's nothing wrong with honest critique or even just questions, whatever. No, but we don't disrespect, which that's not disrespect at all. But anything other than that, no, that's what we pride ourselves in, man, because we're going to keep it honest here on the Miller's Edge. That being said, let's keep it rolling. Back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. I know we've got Reagan coming up at 1230, so let's try to squeeze two of these in before we get to that. We got Tommy up first, then we'll have Jonathan from Lexington next. But first, Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, Tristan, how are you today?
Oh, I'm great, man. Can't complain. How about you, Tommy?
Can't complain either. So,
you sound better today, man. You clearing up?
I'm resting my voice. I'm quitting singing in the opera down here in Romulus. You know, we have an opera down here. I sing with a bunch of crows, but we won't talk about that. See, you got my joke. I'm glad you did. I was worried for a moment.
I'm learning your sense of humor, Tommy.
It's warm, I know. But
that's right.
I had a rest. It's tiny flare-up. I'm taking spray from my local stores. It just seems like they get raw. I have my C-drivers. I get real, real nasally. And when I hear my replay of my voice on the radio, oh, man, I'm about to have a stroke. I'm like, oh, my God, do I sound that bad? But,
no, you're good, man. Look, that's just the phone call. It always is going to affect the clarity. Don't worry, man. You're all good, Tommy. How you feeling about this game, though?
I feel good. I feel like we're going to be 35-24. The only thing I'm worrying about, I don't really want Jam to play because he has a concussion and it takes more than 7 days to really deal with a concussion. But him picking up the blitz and the backfield on third down or passing play, that's what I'm worrying when he's not in them. And people don't panic. Tennessee is going to make plays. Other team that may play, we don't panic. We stay true to my keys, our techniques. We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine, people. So.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, that's a good point. I mean, I think this might be one of those games. That's why I mentioned it earlier, that to me, I feel like fans just have to understand, I guess I'm trying to prep people. I don't want it circling back to, you know, people overreacting if our defense struggles a little bit or gives up some stuff, because I'm like, you got to remember, I mean, this is a very dynamic offense, very complimentary. Shout out to Talking Tide with the complimentary word. But, you know, they're going to run the football. They average over 200 yards on the ground. They'll throw it down the field. They can, you know, hit explosive plays. Their quarterback is – pretty much, I mean, he's got two more yards in time, but technically he's the leading passer in the conference. So, I mean, they do a lot of different things, and it's going to be a challenge for sure. So I'm with you. But the good news is I feel confident that the way our offense has been playing, time of possession, sustainable drives, keeping the ball away from their offense, and then just having that ability to really stretch the football. Yeah, that's going to be the key. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I believe time of possession is the main thing for us. When we win that, we win the game.
Yeah, I would feel really confident in that aspect as well. I'm with you 100% there. Time of possession will be key, man. You got two really good offenses going at it this game. That could be the difference maker, 100%. I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to tell a lot about both team seasons, too. This is a midpoint game. And people don't like me saying this, but every game for Alabama is a playoff game, and the same for Tennessee, and it's a trap game for both too. I expect the best from both of them. Do I want Tennessee to stick up the field and stick up the stadium? Yes, I do, but I don't expect it. I expect a good game.
Oh, yeah. Me too, man. I'm looking forward to it. Well, Tommy, we're going to try to squeeze in. We've got Jonathan up next. He's a new caller. We're going to try to get him because he got Reagan at 12:30. But appreciate you calling. I got your score written down. Let me make sure you got 35-24, right?
Yes, sir. That's it.
Good deal. We got it written down. Man. We appreciate you, Tommy.
All right, man. Have a great week and talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. You too. Sounds good. All right. We got Jonathan from Lexington, South Carolina up next. Jonathan, welcome in.
Hey, what's up, Christian? How you doing, man?
Man, I can't complain, man. Lexington, South Carolina, man. I'm familiar with that area.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I was today I was coming across an old program I ran into, and it was my first ever trip down to Tuscaloosa, and it was when Alabama played my alma mater, which is Citadel. And lo and behold, man, that program, you were on that program, so was Jamie Mosley and Hell Hinches.
I know exactly what you're talking about. That's from my senior year, man, the three of us. I can't remember what week it was from, but I know, I asked like everybody in the locker room, I was like, hey, do you want that? All right, cool, I'll take it. I got like five, six, or seven of them at the house, too. That's awesome, man. That's cool.
Yeah, man, that's probably the only time I've ever rooted against Alabama. I was just hoping to score, but lo and behold, we were tied at halftime. I was surprised.
Yeah. Listen, I think sometimes we look back at those dominant years, and I think we forget. Sometimes, I mean, we had some moments, but ours was like the other way around. We would start slow, but then, like, second half, everything would come together.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Alabama put it on us in the second half, man. They ran us out of Bryant Denny that day.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened a couple times.
And yeah, man. Meanwhile, too, man, I've actually ran to your father a couple times at Maduro in one of the cigar shops there in Lexington.
I've heard the name before. Yeah, he talked a lot about. Matter of fact, I know we've got Crystal in here. I can't remember if that's exactly where theirs was, but yeah, no, he's a sucker for a cigar shop, man.
Oh yeah, hey, absolutely, man. Absolutely. But man, I enjoy listening to your show, man. Like I said, I enjoy the material that you put out. Obviously, man, you speak with a lot of knowledge. You know, obviously you're somebody that played the game at the highest level and, you know, was a champion there. So man, I enjoy listening to your show, enjoy the breakdown that you guys do. But yeah, man, I'm feeling confident in this weekend. I think the key to the game, like as you mentioned, controlling the time of possession, keeping that offense off the field because they are explosive. And then, like I said, forcing some negative plays. Most importantly, what Alabama has done every game is create turnovers. I feel like their quarterback, Aguilar, he's been very solid. He was definitely a last-minute addition to their team. But, you know, he has shown a tendency to turn the ball over from time to time with interceptions. I think he has five or six going into this year. So, you know, if we can create a takeaway maybe in the air or, hey, maybe if somebody puts that ball on the ground, I think that'll be huge as well. Just want to win that turnover margin.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, stealing a possession like that from their offense would be big. I think time of possession, huge, but another one, like you just said, I mean, Aguilar, if you watch, I mean, he's got five turnovers going in this game, I believe, or five interceptions, I should say. But he will kind of try to push some things sometimes, and I think that could lead to some opportunities for our guys to get some turnovers, which would be huge, getting our offense the ball back. I think that could be a big key in this game as well, man. That's a great point.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, man, I'm feeling confident, man. I meant to tell you that Joe Burrow picture that was from their win over Clemson in New Orleans. That's when he was smoking that cigar. So that wasn't Brian Denny.
I think Reed, our producer, pulled it. I think he also had a cigar in the locker room against us. Maybe it wasn't lit, but we could be wrong. But I think Reed also said it. So for some reason, I have a memory of him having a cigar in the locker room here. It just might not have been lit, but. Regardless, we just don't want these guys smoking cigars in Bryant Denny Stadium. That's all I know. I mean, that would not be good. That would not be good. I've never seen that happen, and I don't want to see it tomorrow. So, hey, Jonathan, I appreciate you hitting us up, man. Good to hear from you, man. And, again, appreciate the support. And, yeah, I'm sure you'll probably see my dad another time or two if you're ever in Maduro back in Lexington.
Absolutely.
He loves the cigars, man. You have a great weekend, brother. Yes, thank you.
All right, man. Hey, let's go 38-24.
I'm writing it down now.
All right, man. Hey, have a great weekend, Christian.
Yes, sir. You too, brother. Good deal. We got him 38-24. All right. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We got Reagan from R&R Cigars coming up next with his
19th at Bryant Conference Center. Explore local shops, artists, and restaurants all in one place. Free admission presented by Visit Tuscaloosa and Premier Service Company.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, we're breaking down this Tennessee-Alabama game. We've taken a break from that briefly, going to you guys on the phone lines. But again, we will hear from Reagan in about 10 minutes or so. He's a busy man, a very famous man when it comes to third Saturday in October. ESPN and all the outlets always cover him because, again, they are the official cigar provider of Alabama football. They are the official cigar provider of the Miller's Edge, and that's why we always direct you guys over there to go check them out. Again, if you guys want to get in on the action, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on this weekend there. Again, 2703 Gary Fitz Street. Plus, tell them the Miller's Edge sent you, right? I don't know what deals they might have in person if you say that, but just knowing Reagan, he might bless you a little bit. And tell him I said he better bless you if you tell him that. I'm just kidding. All right. That being said, we've got Bryce on the phone lines. We'll hit a quick question real quick before we take Bryce because we got some time. Phil asked, who do we think is the most improved Bama player this year? That's a damn good question, man. I see Crystal says Bray is really improved. Price mentioned Bray. It's hard for me with that one because it's like going into the year, I expected the way he's playing now, that's kind of what I expected. But if you're talking about, yeah, from week one performance to what he's been doing, I mean, I don't think there's been anybody with quite the 180. But at the same time, to me, I'm like, well, we all knew going into this year, I mean, he's a damn good player. I still think that's a great answer by you guys, but I'm trying to think of someone who, like, we didn't really expect as much from going into the year than now we're seeing. I mean, Ludden Simmons immediately comes to mind. I mean, he got thrown in that fire, and he's been playing some really good football, right, due to injuries.
Christian,
Yonze Pierre would be mine. Go ahead, Reed.
I was going to say, Christian, let me tell you who I think is arguably the definite most improved player. Going into the season, Kevin Riley was arguably like running back four, running back three behind Richard Young and Daniel Hill and Jam Miller. And for him to have the impact that he already has this season and that he's probably going to be running back one going into this game with Tennessee with, you know, Jam still being probable, I think it's got to be him.
That's a damn good one. I was going to say, man, you sure you can beat Yonze Pierre? Because I'm not going to lie. I said early in the year, this guy needs to step up. We need him at that wolf spot specifically, even before Rusaw got hurt. And then even more after. And I thought, honestly, there's so many. That's a damn good question. And there's really so many guys. I mean, somebody even mentioned, you know, Caden Proctor. You got to show him love because I'm not going to lie to you. Like, even though we know he had all that buzz, you guys heard me and my dad. We're very honest. We said, like, I know people have him as a top 10 pick, but he hasn't played at that level yet. He's shown the potential that he can if he puts all together. And I would say he's been much improved this year. Got to shout him out. I mean, there's even like Ty. Somebody mentioned Ty. I thought Ty was going to have a good year going off of what I had seen from him. But if you told me through the first half of the year already he would be playing like the best quarterback in the country, I'm not going to lie. I know a lot of people and fans were excited and just saying that, but they were just kind of going off of hope. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't necessarily – he's outplayed my expectations. And a lot of other people, even all the analysts, everybody's. If that wasn't the case, everybody would have had him as one of the top quarterbacks going into the year. Nobody had him that night, including myself. I knew he was going to end up being one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC. But I was thinking more, okay, by the end of the year, maybe three or four ranked quarterback by the end of the year. You know, he's looking like number one, maybe two, but really number one. I mean, I got Mateer up there as well through the first half of the year. So really good question. That's a fun one. Let's go back to the phone lines. Oh, I see Jefferson. That's another good one. He's definitely picked. Dang, man. He's picked it up a lot, too. Damn, you guys got a lot of good ones, man. That's a really good one. 205-342-9904. We got Bryce up next. Bryce, welcome in.
Hey, Christian. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, if you remember first of the year before season started, I said Bryce was going to be Matt 2.0. Matt Jones, you remember that?
You did, but you were going off hope, brother. No.
You know,
tell me what evidence you have for that. Well, we didn't have A Day, so don't tell me you saw it in the spring.
No, he sat there and waited his time, just like Matt Jones did. He just needed opportunity. He should have had opportunity last year. That's just my personal opinion. But he didn't. Okay?
I mean, fair, but
that's what I was going on. And his dad being a coach didn't hurt neither. But anyway.
What was the last thing you said before that? I'm sorry. Wait, you said what was it?
It didn't hurt him dad being a coach.
No, before that. What did you say before that?
He should have had an opportunity last year, but he didn't. Just my personal opinion. Okay.
I'll just say this because I know, and I wanted to hit. I thought that's what you said. I just want to make sure. Let me hit on this because I have seen this. We hadn't talked about this because I just, we just hadn't brought it up. For anybody that does feel like, oh, what we're seeing from Ty, this is a flat out, I guess, is evidence that he should have been playing less. Let me just tell people, you got to remember that you're seeing Ty 2025 with this group of receivers. Right, I know Jeremy and Ryan were there, but I'm saying Isaiah Horton, guys like Lotzier Brooks. You're seeing Ryan Grubb as his coordinator, right? You're seeing actually using chip protections. Like the protection has been better than it was. Like, so there's a lot of factors. And plus, I'm just going to be honest with you. Ty, and he probably would tell you, Ty right now was not the same Ty a year ago. He was definitely capable of doing a lot of good things. But in terms of the composure and just where he's at, like the readiness, it still wasn't there. So I just, when I see people say it, make it seem as, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying in general, as if it was, because I think you're just referring to they should have put him in at some point, maybe like in a game like Oklahoma, right? I think that's what you're referring to. But I see other people like, oh, we had this guy sitting there and they never, but you got to remember these coaches see these guys every single day, right? And they still made that decision. And it wasn't about politics or the team, but I think, look, and everything works out for a reason. Who knows? Say you put him in there last year and he might not have had the same results, and maybe that could have altered his trajectory. I believe in that everything works out for a reason, and it was meant to be that he waited his turn, because now look at how good of football he's playing. He might not even need any more time after this year. He might be the top quarterback taken, man. So that's the way I look at it. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I just think that Ryan Williams is going to show out. He's going to have a coming out party. You know, there's two games on their schedule I'm worried about. And this ain't one of them. I'm thinking 34-17. Adelaide has not played in this atmosphere. You played at Bryant, didn't you? You know how it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a tough one for
it's
sure.
Gonna be, 34-17, and everybody's running the ball down their throat. And their pass defense is the worst in the league. I mean,
it definitely is.
I just think Ryan Williams is going to have a coming out party, and he's going to be on fire tomorrow.
Ben
from Tennessee, he's going to show out.
The opportunity's there, man. The opportunity's definitely there. Bryce, I hate to rush you off, but we got Reagan ready. We got to get him on here before we run out of time.
I'd hate to be your dad's team this week. Oklahoma's going to come in there like a buzzsaw. Unfortunately, they're going to be mad. I hope I'm not wrong.
We'll be on the couch. Bryce, we appreciate you, brother. Yes, sir. You have a great weekend. Good deal. All right. Now we continue with the phone lines. This time we're joined by probably the most famous guy in Tuscaloosa this weekend, Reagan Starner of R&R Cigars. Reagan, I'm sure it's a circus over there in a good way right now.
Yeah, it's been nuts. it's been absolutely crazy. I just wrapped up an interview with Marty Smith from SportsCenter.
Nice.
So in an hour from now, you will see me on SportsCenter. So, I mean, that's
kind of,
you know.
Did you squeeze any 69 jokes? That's the biggest question. Knowing you, might have squeezed one in there.
No, you know what? I actually, dude, I got kind of starstruck a little bit, you know, because it's SportsCenter. And, you know, my normal, like, I was going to start off the show by saying, you know what, guys, it's been a really good day today. I had to pump gas at the gas station. And do you know what my total was?
Oh, God.
It was $69.69. So I'm taking that as a good omen for today. It's the Sydney Sweeney of numbers.
Okay.
So I'm really excited about it.
And I'm glad you weren't able to get that off on air. That would have been, that would have been, Leslie would not would have, you would have been in trouble. Would have been in the doghouse this weekend. Good thing you didn't.
Yeah, a little bit. No, I kept it very professional. You know, I like to let it loose on the radio shows, you know, and, you know, be the color commentary for you guys' shows.
Oh, yeah. No, I love having you on for your smoking hot picks because it always comes with a lot more than just some good picks, man. Always some great entertainment as well. All right. So, Reagan, obviously, there's a lot going on. I know you've been focused on this game. Part of me, I don't even know if it's worth hitting a whole bunch. Tell me if there's any ones you want to hit because I really want to focus on this Alabama-Tennessee one. But is there any ones in particular you want to hit this weekend?
You know what? I got to be honest with you. There's nothing more important than that game right now.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was feeling.
When it's over, we're smoking victory scars. So
yeah, that's kind of where I was leaning. I mean, I was going to ask maybe the Ole Miss Georgia one, just because you've got a lot of familiar, you know, you got a lot of relationships with those guys, Kirby, Lane, and all the staff. Mm-hmm. Let's tap into that one real quick because you're good buddies with those guys. What's your thoughts on that matchup? That is a good one.
I think Georgia wins a close one.
Hmm. That's fair. What's the line on that one?
Only because it's a home game for Georgia. If it said Ole Miss, I'm probably going Ole Miss.
That's fair. I'm trying to see what the line is on that. I'll be honest with you. I don't even know how to feel about that other than like you just said. I mean, I think Georgia being at home is huge. It's going to be interesting, man. Ole Miss's quarterback, he's a pretty good player, and it's funny that he wasn't the guy going into the year. I'm trying to see what is the line on this game, man. Is it seven and a half?
It can't be a lot.
I want to say it's at 7.5 right now, leaning towards Georgia. So,
okay, Lane's really good about covering the spread because Lane knows. So
What do you mean he knows? What do you mean he knows?
He's tweeted out things about the lines before. So I wouldn't be surprised if he makes sure to cover there because he does that stuff.
Yeah. That would be interesting if he was taking that into consideration. But who knows, man?
I don't think he takes it into consideration, but he's just aware of it, I think. Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. I'll tell you this, because Ole Miss had a really good defense last year, and then this year they've been a little up and down for sure, and I'll just be honest with you. I don't know. I like their quarterback, but their defense has been a little inconsistent. I thought Georgia's bounced back pretty decent since we gave them that first L. And like you mentioned, obviously them being at home, we know what that streak was before we broke it. I probably would lean Georgia in that game as well, but I'm expecting a good one. Do you even want to even mention Vanderbilt LSU? The only reason I bring that up, Reagan, is because it's funny enough, Vanderbilt's favored in this game, man. I mean, it's -2.5 and it's at Vanderbilt, but what do you think about that one? That's kind of interesting. You're taking LSU?
Yeah, I'm gonna take LSU. Yeah,
that's fair.
I mean,
that's fair. I'm leaning LSU.
Better talent, better athletes, you know, would be stopped. But I expect LSU to win. Brian Kelly's usually pretty good in the big games, unless it's against Alabama or Florida State.
That's fair. No, I'm with you there. Well, all right, let's go ahead and jump into the big one, like you said, the one that obviously the only one we care about this weekend. I mean, it's our moment to get our get back. A lot of people that I know, right, they had their cigars just light it up anyway. But Alabama will take on Tennessee. Night game tomorrow evening, 6:30. Alabama, I believe right now, at least according to CBS, is an 8.5-point favorite in this game. A lot of people, including myself, feel like, I mean, it's a battle of two really talented offenses. luckily our defense is definitely better than theirs, but theirs has, you know, some stuff to, you know, respect, like their pass rush being the top unit in the country. Reagan, tell me how you see this game going, and what do you feel in terms of the spread in this game? Again, I think -8.5 at this point.
I don't care about the spread. Just win. It could be just win by one. don't care. Just win by one. I feel a lot better about this game this year than I have the last two games, and that starts with Ty Simpson. He's the guy I want to have the ball, and he's a Heisman candidate. He looks like, you know, he looks honestly like one of the better quarterbacks in the Alabama line of quarterbacks, and he might end up being the best, but he's on a good, I mean, he's off to a good start. I love Ty Simpson. I love this defense. You know, L Team Overton, I went to practice on Thursday. I dropped off the victory cigars for the team, and I was just watching some of these guys, and Ty was just dropping dimes as usual. I was so impressed with LT Overton, the way he's moves for such a big guy. I mean, it's crazy. He's like moving like you, man. And he's, you know, he's huge. Probably not as fast as you, but I mean, it was just amazing watching some of these guys do their work. And Tennessee secondary is just atrocious. I'm really hoping that we hang 50 on them, just bomb after bomb after bomb. And I hope that we just keep throwing the ball to Ryan Williams. I hope he has a huge game. All of the wide receivers should have a field day with this secondary. Ryan Grubb should be, I'd love it if Caden Proctor had a passing touchdown.
We're getting ahead of ourselves now, Reagan. Throwing the football. I mean, Reagan, come on, man. I mean, is him not taking a wildcat and jumping over people enough? You people, man, y'all want him to throw a touchdown really against Tennessee?
I hope we're up so much. I hope we're up so much that we just line Caden Proctor up somewhere on the field and he gets his touchdown. Because, you know, the game's out of reach and we can just do stuff like that.
I will say this. I would not mind giving him, going another, was it crispy package, and just giving him the ball and letting him run over some guys, just kind of like to put that, like, hey, you know what's about to, you know, come at you and you can't stop it kind of deal. Fair.
Yeah.
But I promise to God, if I see this guy throw a football in a game, let alone an SEC game, Ryan Grubb, you're going to have to see me, man. That is nuts.
Even if it's a touchdown?
He's going to break the internet. He already somewhat broke the internet. I promise to God, if Reagan, if we see Caden Proctor at any point throw the football, even if it's not a touchdown, Ryan Grubb is a sick human being, man. And he literally is he's nuts. That's funny though.
Not sick like Hugh Freeze coaching in medical bay at Liberty Stadium sick.
Okay. No, just more so like, dude, you gotta be stopped. You're a madman doing all those things with Caden Proctor, man. It's almost like you just literally are just saying, screw, I shouldn't say that. You get what I'm saying? I can't say it on radio. Anyway, I'll say this because
I got it.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Because we do got to get out of here in a second because we combine breaks. But, Reagan, I'm with you on that. I do feel like it's going to be a close game, but I do see us pulling it off. And I do feel like time of possession is going to be huge. Can we force some turnovers, take the ball away from them? That will be big. And I really do believe, man, if you can keep Ty clean, give him a clean pocket, right, going against this top pass rush unit in Tennessee, man, I really feel like he's obviously going to have a big day with those receivers. But I'm curious to see if we can still get our running game going, because that would be very helpful, even if Jam is not able to go. Reagan, before we get out of here, man, please tell all the fine folks. I've said it a number of times today, but I'd love for you to say 2703 Gary Fitz Street. Y'all got anything like specials or anything going on? Or y'all about anything they need to know about what cigars are still left? Because I feel like people are probably raiding your shop right now.
Yeah, for sure. We've got the victory cigars that we give to the team, the Casa de los Estrellas. We've got the special edition football cigars only made for R&R Cigars. If you are listening and you're not in town, go to our website, rnrcigars.com. Use the promo code Miller's Edge, all caps, Miller's Edge, and you will get 20% off and free shipping. It's if you're in town, come on down. It's a zoo right now. We've got so many people. We'll have probably 1,000 people come through today. And we're going through the victory cigars left and right. It'd be cool if I sold out. One year, I'd just like to sell one cigar to every person in that stadium. That's it. Just one cigar to every person in that stadium. So, but that starts today. You come down and you come get them, and we'll see you at the mansion.
Sounds great, brother. You heard the man. Everybody go get a cigar, man. Sell it out. We got plenty of people in town. Let's make it happen. Reagan, we appreciate you, man. You have a great weekend. I know it's going to be exciting. It's going to be even better when you're able to light it up tomorrow evening.
Yep. Come find me because I know we're honoring your team. Come find me on the field and we'll take a picture and smoke one together.
Hell yeah. We'll do it, Reagan. I appreciate you, brother.
All right, man. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. Good deal. All right. We got to get out of here. Before we do that, Reed, let me get that score prediction real quick.
It is going to be 41-37, and this will be the week that I hit it. Missouri week,
wow.
I was not correct about the score, but I had the correct margin of Bama winning by 3. So this week will be the week.
Man, just give me 38-31. I didn't even have time to really think on it real quick because I've been doing a million things. Give me 38-31. I'll take Bama winning it. I do think it's going to be close. You guys heard all my keys. If you guys just joined us, go back. First hour, I hit all of them. I don't have enough time, unfortunately, because we got to get out of here. But just know that it's all in this video for you guys. And hope you guys have a great weekend. Appreciate Reed. Appreciate Chase. All you listeners, Tide 100.9, YouTube, all that good stuff. And look forward to seeing you guys Monday on hopefully a victory Monday, right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.